5. Sunday was rainy, so they convened at the Anderson seldom used dining room table. Ralph, Jeannie, Howie, and Alec. Yoon Sablo at home in Cap City joined them on Howie Gold's laptop via Skype. Ralph began by recapping the things all of them knew, then turned it over to Yoon, who told Howie and Alec about what they had found in the Elfman barn. When he was finished, Howie said, "None of this makes sense. In fact, it's about 4 time zones from making sense.
This person was sleeping out there in the loft of a deserted barn," Alec asked Yoon. "Hiding out? That's what you're thinking?"
"It's a working assumption," Yoon said.
"If so, it couldn't have been Terry," Howie said. "He was in town all day Saturday. He took the girls to the municipal pool that morning, and he was at Estelle Barga Park all that afternoon getting the field ready. As the home field coach, doing that was his responsibility. There were plenty of witnesses in both places."
"And from Saturday till Monday," Alec put in, "he was jugged in county jail, as you well know, Ralph."
"There are all kinds of witnesses to Terry's whereabouts almost every step of the way," Ralph agreed. "That's always been the root of the problem. But let it go for a minute. I want to show you something. Yoon's already seen it. He reviewed the footage this morning. But I asked him something before he watched, and now I want to ask you. Did either of you notice a badly disfigured man at the courthouse? He was wearing something on his head, but I'm not going to say what it was just now. Either of you?" Howie said he hadn't. All his attention had been fixed on his client and his client's wife. Alec Pelley, however, was a different matter.
"Yeah, I saw him. Looked like he got burned in a fire. And what he was wearing on his head..." He stopped, eyes widening.
"Go on," Yoon said from his living room in Cap City.
"Let it out, amigo. You'll feel better."
Alec was rubbing his temples as if he had a headache.
"At the time, I thought it was a bandana or a kerchief. You know, because his hair got burned off in the fire and maybe couldn't grow back because of the scarring, and he wanted to keep the sun off his skull. Only it could have been a shirt. The one missing from the barn, is that what you're thinking? The one Terry was wearing in the security footage from the train station?"
"You win the Cupid doll," Yoon said. Howie was frowning at Ralph.
"You're still trying to hang this on Terry?"
Jeannie spoke up for the first time. "He's just trying to get to the truth, which I'm not sure is the world's best idea, actually."
"Watch this, Alec," Ralph said, "and point out the burned man." Ralph ran the Channel 81 footage, then the Fox footage, and then, at Alec's request, he was now leaning so close to Jeannie's laptop that his nose was nearly touching the screen, the Channel 81 footage again. At last he sat back.
"He's not there, which is impossible."
Yoon said, "He was standing next to the guy waving his cowboy hat, right?"
"I think so," Alec said. "Next to him and higher up from the blonde reporter who got bonked on the noggin with a sign. I see both the reporter and the sign waver, but I don't see him. How can that be?"
None of them answered.
Howie said, "Let's go back to the fingerprints for a minute. How many different sets in the van, Yoon?"
"Forensics thinks as many as 6 dozen.
Howie groaned.
"Take it easy. We've eliminated at least 4 of those. The farmer in New York who owned the van, the farmer's oldest son who sometimes drove it, the kid who stole it, and Terry Maitland. That leaves 1 clear set we haven't identified. Could have been one of the farmer's friends or one of his younger kids playing around inside. And those blurry ones."
"The same blurry ones you found on the belt buckle?"
"Probably, but we can't be sure. There are a few visible lines and whorls in those, but nothing like the clear points of identity you'd need to get them admitted into evidence when a case goes to court."
"Uh-huh. Okay. Understood. So let me ask all 3 of you gentlemen something.
Isn't it possible that a man who had been badly burned, hands as well as face, could leave prints like that? Ones blurred to unrecognizability?
Yes, Yoon and Alex said in unison, their voices only overlapping because of the computer's brief transmission lag.
The problem with that, Ralph said, is the burned man at the courthouse had tattoos on his hands. If his fingertips burned off, wouldn't the tats have burned off too?
Howie shook his head.
Not necessarily. If I'm on fire, maybe I use my hands to try and put myself out. But I don't do it with the backs, do I?
He began slapping at his considerable chest to demonstrate. I do it with my palms.
There was a moment of silence. Then, in a low, almost inaudible voice, Alec Pelley said,
That burned guy was there. I'd swear it on a stack of Bibles.
Ralph said, Presumably, the state police forensics unit will analyze the stuff from the barn that turned the hay black. But is there anything we can do in the meantime? I'm open to suggestions.
Backtrack to Dayton, Alec said. We know Maitland was there, and we know the van was there, too. At least some of the answers may also be there. I can't fly up myself, too many irons currently in the fire, but I know somebody good. Let me make a call and see if he's available.
That was where they left it.